I am unashamed. What about you?
This set looks really unique.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's the first time I've been back here. I think y'all did a podcast or two with Zach here from some other emergency. I mean,
no recollection of that whatsoever.
I think, Cole, weren't y'all here? Yes. So you just can't. During the hurricane.
I bet that was memorable. I did it, and I don't even remember. So Phil has got my seat. I sat in that chair there for, 12 years?
Long time. So does being back in this room pre-show, does it bring back all your memories of working, like when you used to have to actually work for a living?
I just feel incredibly uncomfortable right now because this is where Godwin sat.
And we know from the show the hemorrhoids are contagious, right? That was on the
show. Was so funny. We had a refrigerator behind us here, and because you notice all the signs here. All these have meaning. Like that sign, do not touch anything on this table. I put that for the TV show people because they kept messing with my tools.
That's right.
Then Jay got mad about people sitting in his chair, so he went with the don't sit in this chair, hemorrhoids are contagious. But the funniest thing he did is he put a hellfire and brimstone verse on the refrigerator.
Yeah, it was Exodus something.
It was like thieves will be punished to the death, stoned
and burned alive.
So when we were all sitting here, you got Godwin, Martin, you got me, Cy, and Jay. And he's just throwing a fit because somebody's stealing things out of the refrigerator. So me and Cy are like, what kind of person? And we were like having this banner. Well, the two quiet ones were the two biggest guys. Martin and Godwin were just sitting there. And I said, I think this investigation is over.
That's right. The silence spoke volumes.
The silence and the extra 100 LBs.
The disappearance of snacks, of foodstuff, has always been a big deal around here.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing in my house. I have two dogs that are supposed to be the same size, and one of them is twice as big as the other. One of them 6 pounds, one of them's 3. And Missy says, I don't know how they're eating so much dog food. I said, not they.
Well, I remember a speech I gave you boys when y'all were with, but fledglings, Jace, young pucks. Early teenage, 15, 13 to 14, 15, I sat y'all down one day down there and I said, boys, I said, you see all these? Because y'all were saying, oh, I tell you what's going to happen. Yeah, we don't know it. I said, listen, there'll come a time, there'll come a day. You see these boys with all these jacked up four-wheel drives and fine vehicles and all that stuff. And they all said, yeah. I said, that'll be y'all just shortly. It's coming. And they said, all of them, I mean, I don't know whether you were with them or not, but the whole little crew, I know Willie was there and Jay.
Probably moved on by then.
Yeah, they laughed.
My truck is very economical. It is not jacked up looking like a man.
But Willie's is.
Well, that's what I was getting to. Maybe we need to have a midlife intervention.
I was just speaking of an era where you know, it'll all pay off and you'll get your reward.
But what's ironic, Dad, is you're right. But it didn't happen for a long time. Like,
that's right.
It all happened for everybody when they were older. Yep. So I think that's Willie's problem. He's almost 50 years old, but he's driving around these trucks like he's an 18-year-old buck, you know, with these big jacked up.
What happened during that time of your life that sent Willie, you know, because he's, where did it go wrong?
Well, no, Willie ended up where he is when I got the memo that he was taking over the concession, the candies and the cookies.
That's true.
When he took over that business at the local junior
high. You knew he had some Trader Jack in him.
I remember seeing that on the back.
He was short-circuiting the vending machines, and they were using that money to furnish the money for the football team to buy jerseys now. Willie cut in there and cut rate prices at Walmart, undersold all the candy.
I remember seeing.
Took over the
concession stand.
No,
concession
stand. The last two rows of the school bus, because, you know, we rode the bus for an hour and a half for years.
Yep.
That turned into Willie's, like, management place.
Yep.
There were thousands of candies and coins. And he had all his people working for him. Of course, he paid nobody. I was like three rows up just watching the proceedings. But
you weren't one of his employees.
No, he paid them in candy. You know, they were.
It was a financial coup, and Willie's fleet of workers were mainly little girls.
Oh yeah,
and I mean,
you know
he literally took over the concession business and had it going good. Until the principal finally got wind of it, and they said, "We got to shut him down."
Most people don't know this because Willie's had the beard all the time they've known him. Underneath that beard, there's two dimples. He's got a dimple on each side, and he had a way of doing that, you know, 100-watt smile with the dimples. That he got all that labor for his business. That's what he did.
Right.
That's how he operated. Now he tells a story. I've heard him do a speech before. That he also, you can verify if you ever saw this, that he also put on a little show to help his business on the bus. So he said he'd take a quarter, somebody paid him, he'd put it under his arm like a jukebox, and he would drop it down in his hand in his pocket, and then he would sing maybe a Foreigner song, Jukebox Hero maybe.
Oh, he's still doing that today.
Really?
Oh, he in his speeches?
Yeah.
He does the Jukebox Hero. So, he has a different point, but it's same material. Because we went to Canada, they had a country music concert.
You and Al and Jeff and I guess your buddies, y'all ended up, if you sat here for 13 years, you worked as the workforce. And Willie was the brains.
Yep. He was the big wig.
Yep. Oh, I get it.
He was putting the deals.
Take over the concession business when you're about 12, and you got good things coming.
I mean, it never bothered me because every time he came in this door, I'm like, stay in your lane. Because, I mean, he can't fire me. I'm his brother. I'm like, you don't know a duck.
And he doesn't know how to do duck.
Yeah, I'm like, no. And so it basically worked pretty well.
It did.
Now, you showed me this while ago. He was like, well, this, look.
This was here when this is not set up. This was here when I came in.
I'll tell you the story behind this. Y'all thought I was kidding about this. And if you're listening, Al just held up
a DVD of Outlaw Josie Wales.
Mm-hmm. So when
it's still laying here in the room.
So here's why that's here. I'll tell you the story. You're not going to like this, Phil, but it's a confessional. So when we were going to hire somebody, you know, Willie's like, hey, you know, stick that guy in the duck call room. Y'all teach him how to do this. We would make him watch that. And all the other workers would judge his responses on whether it's a thumbs up or thumbs down. If he didn't laugh when he was supposed to, bomb.
Did y'all have like a two-way glass?
No, we all just sat here and watched it, but we're looking at him.
Oh, yeah, keeping an eye on him.
I never thought about that particular litmus test.
I was like, if you don't get this movie, you can't work here.
So his skill set began with how
he reacted.
Yeah.
How he reacted to it.
Because this is an intimate set. You know, we come in here, even though we're way away, and this seems kind of weird. If you spend
I feel like it feels way over there. It's like,
if you spend years in here, you have to be able to cohabit with these people. Yep. That's why we tried to get him he was in the far corner.
He was up there making reads.
Yeah, but like, you noticed how far he was from everybody else.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Well,
it's because he only talks in one tone, loud.
Yeah.
I mean, that's no matter what he's talking about.
But the good news is, looking back now, we can all look back and grin. It worked.
Well, it worked. So the reason we're here is because we're still in this ice storm, which today is the day where it warmed up enough, which, look, I never thought 40 degrees seems like 100.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm like, it's 40 degrees.
I was out when it was 33, and I was thinking, man, it's so nice and balmy. And it was 16, and I thought, wait a minute, what's wrong with me? 33 and 16 is still cold, but when you've gone through the deep freeze of the week, I mean, it was bad.
So it's still ice on the roads and all, but it was safe enough to what we got here.
We're working our way, Dad, out to you. So we were at Jace's, now we're here. Maybe in two more days we'll be there.
There were hundreds of limbs. Anywhere from the size of your arm to the size of your leg, a few the size of your body, crack, the weight of the ice, they would just come down and just strip everything beneath them.
Yeah.
I mean, and it went on, nonstop. And when that started there, day before yesterday in the evening, started in the evening, I said, this might be a pretty good, pretty eye-opening night.
Yeah. Well, it's been rough.
I mean, the dogs were barking and running outside after a big crack, then co-woom on top of the
You didn't want to be walking around out
we
there.
Have a little roof damage around there, you know, but I mentioned it, this cool snap that came through. You know, when you get these guys pontificating on global warming and this and that and the other.
I knew you were going to bring this up. Look.
I'm like, man, if it had not been for global warming, we would have froze our butts off.
This is what I did.
Woo, thank you for global warming, because, boy.
Look, you're not going to believe this. So before, I was so interested in this, and I've been cooped up so long, and y'all embarrassed me on the last podcast because, you know, my wife filmed this epic fail of running.
Somebody showed me that. It was a pretty good little and fall.
I fell, and I didn't.
Did
know
you
my...
laugh? Did you laugh as much as I did when you watched it?
I laughed because I said that was not a good move because I was just walking on this stuff, and I mean I was.
Oh man, I was.
I've had at least 100 texts in the last couple of days. Of people that saw that.
Yeah.
And my response is, no, I would not have won the $10,000 if that was still going on. That would have been the undercard. You know, on America's Funniest videos.
Yep.
It would have been one of them that led up to the epic happening of the $10,000 winner. But I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. So I forgot what I was even going to say. Oh, about the global warming. So I had the same thought. So I Googled, if global warming is real, why is it so cold? That's what I put, and I did a search. You don't have the internet, so you're missing out on these fantastic viewings.
Missing so much.
So the top link was a paper from somebody from Yale, and so I started reading this thing, and I actually jotted down a few notes. I can't believe you brought that up. So here was basically their logic. I laugh so hard. And, you know, people say, what is this global warming? You know, where the pollution and the air travel is creating greenhouse
emissions, carbon emissions.
Gas. And look, maybe so. So I'm not denying that.
I like the way you just lumped that whole debate into 2.5 seconds.
Yeah,
that was
maybe
really good.
So.
Whatever.
Maybe so, but here's the problem, like Phil. So I look, and it said, and these are the facts, Yale. I mean, here we go. The temperature has risen 1 degree since 1880. Now, this wasn't something he was supposing. He was like, these are the facts. Yep. And I thought, at this rate... In another 100 years, we'll be...
Another degree.
83. I mean, from 82. I just thought, what the heck are we getting so bent out of shape for? I'm using your own facts.
And I just noticed, it's funny you said that, because John Kerry just said 2 days ago or yesterday that in 9 years, it's over unless we do something.
Well, not at 1 degree per 120 years.
I was just quoting him.
So let me tell you where this rabbit hole went, because I want to answer the question. Right. What was the Yale thesis answer?
Hang on. Let's take a break for that. So you never thought COVID could cost you your home, did you, Jace?
You never know these days, Al.
You never know. But it might be because cybercrime is up 75%. And by far, the most serious cybercrime to worry about is home title theft. So basically what happens is cyber criminals, your title to your home is somewhere in some digital place. They hack in, they get your title, they put their name on it, and then they go borrow a bunch of money against you. They come foreclose on your house, and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't sell my house. Or, I mean, it's just, what's the verse? Invent ways of doing evil?
Yep.
And so that's exactly what happens here. Insurance doesn't cover you, and neither do common identity theft programs. So that's why we're encouraging you to protect your home with Home Title Lock. HomeTitleLock.com. You register your address. You find out if you're already a victim. Use the code RADIO, and you're going to receive 30 free days of protection. So that's HomeTitleLock.com, code RADIO, and make sure to not lose your home.
So this paper said, and I'm just giving you the bullet points. it basically said the reason when it's so cold, what you're forgetting, the reason global warming is still a thing, is that it's hot somewhere. And I thought, are they going Alan Jackson and Jimmy Buffett here? They did a song, because, you know, Jimmy Buffett, he leans left. Just because very few country music singers do, but I'm aware of that with him. And I thought, they're in this thing together. They're like, yeah, it's negative 23 where my daughter has been residing in Minnesota. But it's 47 somewhere. So they come up with a song for you. I know you don't listen to country music. Alan Jackson, Jimmy Buffett. They were like, and it starts off talking about the weather. It's cold, and or it says the day's moving by like a slow day, and then it's like, but it's so hot, and I'm working, and even though it's not, it's early in the day, it's like noon. I don't care, because it's 5 o'clock somewhere. So he's going to go fix him a drink. That was the logic on why he wants to have a drink. And the logic of this global warming study is that it's hot somewhere.
Well, I've been on the earth. All I can tell you about what I've seen in 74 years. In 74 years, all I know for sure is, because I reel back time, I've never seen a week of February be this cold.
I ain't either.
This broke all of my records that I've seen in the month of February.
But they would say, yeah, but somewhere it's hot.
Yeah.
By 1 degree.
Yeah.
On average.
And somewhere it's 5 o'clock. So Dad, we talked about this. 40 years ago, we had a week similar to this, but it was earlier.
In January.
It was in January because we hunted.
Yep.
And everything locked up. But that's, you know, 40 years later, here we are. So it doesn't.
It happens.
It happens. You're going to have these big.
It's a rare thing, though.
Polar vortex, you know, but I'm a Jace.
So then I went off that. And because, look, I was trying to get information. I really wanted to know what they said. And I just told you what they said. You think I'm making fun of it. But that is the. You can read that. And that is basically what the argument was.
So it's
so then I went from that to just it's so cold jokes, like redneck jokes. I wrote down a couple for you.
Oh, you've been working on your humor.
Ow, I've been stuck in a house 6 days.
Did you try him out on Missy?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
The first one I said.
You know, Missy's a tough critic for humor.
First one I told her, I said, it's as cold as a frosted frog. And she said, that's not funny. I said, it's not intended to be funny. I was trying to get to the point that frogs, when they hibernate, they don't totally enclose themselves in the mud. So the part that's exposed, he's frosted right now. So I just thought it wasn't intended to be funny. She's like, don't do that. But I did.
And it had some alliteration to it. That would be funny at church.
I love frogs. I love hunting frogs. I love thinking about frogs.
And a frosted frog has a little bit of them.
They get better.
Yeah, I get
it. It was so cold on the way over here, I saw a dog stuck to a fire hydrant. I told that to Missy. Look, she never broke stride.
I said, that's funny.
I said, you, ma'am, are an oak. She said, I don't get it. I said, babe, dogs, they pee. As soon as I said they pee, she said, oh, I get it now. Yeah, that's okay.
I told you, if Missy's the judge of jokes, you're going to walk away from comedy.
Well,
I'm going to tell you
the
that.
The funny part was me trying these out on her.
Yep.
And look, there were a lot more.
Yeah.
These were the best ones.
Oh, okay.
I said, it was so cold, I walked outside and I created beard sickles. She said, that's not funny. That happens. I've seen you.
So you were 3 for 3. No ha ha ha.
No ha ha. So then there was number 4. And look, this one I didn't think was funny.
Uh-oh.
She audibly laughed.
Uh-oh.
I said, it's so cold, I just saw Richard Simmons in pants. Now she laughed.
That's pretty
She said, that's
clever.
Funny.
That's clever.
That's yeah. pretty
so
good.
So once I got the laugh, I stopped.
You pulled a Costanza. I'm
tough,
out.
Tough crowd. So, your wife was a tough crowd.
You remember, Dad, we used to watch Dangerfield?
Dangerfield said, you know, when he just, they wouldn't, he's like, he said, tough crap.
Yeah, that's
can't
what
get
I mean.
A laugh out of them.
I think opposites attract. And now what we did go into then was the real meaning of what happens in these disasters is that, on the positive side, is that I have seen more people helping other people, especially back where I'm from in Austin, at that locale. They formed a group, a neighborhood group text in with the school, and there have been more people cooking hot meals and buying diapers for other people, and it's just constant. And even here I noticed, I saw where Carl Malone, who, you know, the NBA basketball player, that he's been in this duck call shop before.
He, Carl Malone.
He turned his car dealership into, they just started cooking and feeding all the people that were stranded, because over to the west of us, they got it way more severe than we did. But look, there's 1,000 stories out there like that, and I just think that that's one of the great things about America. I mean, believers or unbelievers, they tend to come together in places of, in times of crisis. So, you know, that has been awesome.
And we talked about that some, Jason, on the last podcast. Of course, Dad wasn't with us. We had Zach. That, unfortunately, there's a mindset now of people, and some of it's regionalized, I think, in cities and stuff. But, you know, the rural idea is if something happens, you start looking out for helping folks. I mean, a tree falls across the road anywhere around here, there's some rednecks out there with chainsaws getting off the road immediately.
No doubt.
We were doing that very thing yesterday. Another thing you need to think about is when people start interacting with one another, trying to help one another, it's a good sign, because these days in modern day America, people are kind of conditioned so that they will be dependent on the government, this program or that program. And what happens is, in other words, you got a clear text, make it your ambition to live a quiet life, mind your own business, work hard with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life will win the respect of outsiders. And this has to mean something, especially in the times of a big ice storm or any other kind of storm.
Well, right.
So that you won't have to be dependent on anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
It is the best way to roll.
Especially the government.
Well, look,
especially, because what will happen is you'll get it in your mind, well, I'm paying for my water. Where is it? I'm paying for my electricity. Where is it?
Yeah.
I paid them for it.
Yeah.
And they said, here's what this is going to cost you to run electricity till you have. This is the bill. Well, if you're paying the bill, you found yourself in a situation where you're dependent on them, because they owe you the electricity because you paid your electric bill this month.
Yeah.
Until it doesn't come forth. Take the state of Texas. I mean, there were millions and millions and millions of Texans out there. They were just hung out to dry. Fortunately, you know, I'm 74, so I was old enough to be raised, you know, in a log house with a fireplace at one end of it. There were no heaters, no central air, no air conditioners at all. So we got used to just put the back log on, get you a big log for the night,
because
you want that to last till in the morning. Scrape around a little bit when just after daylight comes and start throwing some wood in there, get you another fire built.
Right. Yeah.
We just thought, but we never dream life is hard.
or that somebody's going to have to come save us.
And somebody's going to come save us. No.
I mean,
if you wanted milk, you went out there and milked the cow to come in there. If you wanted butter, somebody had to churn it, you know, with a stick with a paddle on the end of it. So what I'm saying is, smokehouse, you got meat hanging up out there in it. And as a boy, I remember that. And this was no dependence on anybody. I mean, it was like, and if somebody had walked in and said, boy, you know, times are hard, looks like, we'd have said, it'd been like those old Westerns. We'd have said, what? No, times are good.
What? So to prove your point, you're talking about almost 70 years ago.
Yeah.
The 40 years ago, the one I mentioned earlier, we were without power for about 10 days down there on the river.
Sure.
Granny and Pa were there. We did the same thing then.
Sure.
In other words, 30
years
ago.
Did you hear anybody say, man, what in the world? We have lost our electricity.
Well, unfortunately, it becomes political. I mean, the news, what little news I've watched, because I've been home so much. They're all blaming each other.
Oh, and Jace, here's the thing. Almost immediately they started that. Yeah. I mean, in other words, we were one day into the thing and figuring it out. And here comes the blame game. This guy's not doing
this. I'm sitting there thinking, from a godly viewpoint, this what God said thousands of years ago in this Bible, love your neighbor, that's really ringing true right now.
Big time.
No, I mean, you just think about what is getting people through it. Yeah. It's not politics. It's people loving their neighbor.
Right.
That's the way it should be.
The folks came together and said, we're going to kill a couple of hogs. So the date, they'd wait till it was a cold day. October used to be pretty cold around here. Global warming got them. But anyway, they'd come up there, the Ken folks would, and they'd all come together. And it was like a kind of like a gathering, but it all centered around a couple of these big hogs they had fattened up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that meat I told you about smoking in the smokehouse, that was bacon, ham. I mean, they had it. I mean, not down all the way down to the intestines. I mean, they ate literally his brains. Brains and
hog head cheese,
eggs and brains.
Phil, you're so weird.
No, I'm saying this is the way people
saying that's what people would say. They're like, oh, that's weird.
Hang on, let's take a break. So I've got good news to share about our good friends at Patriot Mobile. They've expanded their coverage dramatically, which will make it easier for more Americans to dump the big name carriers who charge way too much money and donate their money to leftists. I love this company because they're conservative, and they're saying that when you look at all the other big carriers, they're basically a lot of left-leaners. And so what they're offering is a way to be able to provide your cell phone service, but also do it to some Christian conservatives. So if that's interesting to you, you'd like to switch, you get to keep your own phone number, or you can bring your own phone and buy a new one, you know, your choice. Buy a bundle with multi-line discounts, you save even more. It's patriotmobile.com/Phil, or you can give them a call at 972-PATRIOT. This month gets free premier activation when they set up the phone for you and a special gift with the offer code Phil. So it's patriotmobile.com/Phil, patriotmobile.com/Phil, or 972-PATRIOT. Check these guys out.
Which a lot of that is the media, I think, creates those situations. They do. It's like
if you're going to live on the South Texas or South Louisiana, if you're going to live on the coast, Florida, start down the coast.
Hurricane.
Al, you're going to get blown away.
They're coming.
But you didn't think you would have a 10-inch snowstorm. Like I saw some town right on the Mexico-Texas border.
If you live on the earth from time to time, you're going to see a tornado, a storm, an ice storm, a summertime cloudburst tornado. I mean, it's just the way life is.
Well, every time there's a hurricane that hits, I hear the same people saying, see, global warming. These bad hurricanes. How long do you think hurricanes been hitting the southern coast?
Wow, it's hot somewhere. You're not getting.
You're right.
That is the point of it. They're like, it's 5 o'clock.
The Hebrew writer said the planet Earth, the heavens and the earth, the earth is wearing out, and it'll be rolled up like a scroll. And it'll disappear.
Well,
it is wearing out.
They did say a fire
is
going to occur.
They did.
But I'm waiting on the global warming. To me, your sign that it's fixing to be global warming, is fixing to be a reality, is when you hear. Because Second Peter 3, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You hear that sound, guess what? You say, global warming is real.
No, it's
global
not going to be that. You're going to hear a loud musical instrument.
Trumpet.
A trumpet call. And you say, I wonder who in the world can be that loud on a trumpet. When you see that, all you got to remember, Al, it's fixed to get hot here.
My daughter asked me that one time. She's like, well, if Jesus comes back here, will the people in Asia and Europe, will they have time to then repent? Because
they're the other side of the world.
I think if you can fly from the third dimension of heaven, you can pretty much fly around at the same time.
I think you'll have sound control for the whole
planet. I said it might be a time-stopping moment.
This is big picture. Big picture.
Well, and, why couldn't you just click pause? He could do that. I mean, you see that on a movie. We're all going to just pause.
Yep. But you think about it. That's why we would be called, well, we would be called idiots first. We would be called science deniers because we're not running around with our hands up in there. It's, oh, no, what's going to happen? But yeah. The difference is these global warming or whatever, now climate change, they keep changing the name. Because now you call it climate change, Dad, so it can be anything. It's too cold, it's too hot, it's all the same. But the reason, the difference in the way we view it and they view it is that we don't believe we can fix it.
See, and they say all it will cost is how many trillion?
Whatever, right. And we're like, that's not up to, we look at the Bible, we say God's in control of the whole situation. And he said when the day comes, he's taking it down. So we don't run around with our hands
I think it's a thief. He comes like a thief. We don't know the day. Right. It's because we've all, even us as believers, you just get up every day and it's a new day. And this has happened for so long. It will be like, it'll be not surprising because, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5 said this day should not surprise you when Jesus comes back. But it will be like, oh, I mean, what would be a lesser degree of surprise? You're not surprised as in he came back. You're surprised, oh, on this day.
Right.
So that's basically his point.
Yep.
That it was today.
Well, the problem for these people now that are so panicked is that there's so many talking heads on television predicting these dates. So the date comes and goes. You know, this year is the end point for all. It comes and it goes and keeps going. And nobody goes back and says, well, I thought you said this was 10 years ago we were done. Yep. Now it's, you know, 9 years from now. AOC says, you know, it's going to be about this year.
Well, that's what I say every time. Every time I see one of these weird theories about here's the day. You know, the Mayans said it was like 2020. 12. Sometime. Oh, was it 12?
I think it was 2012, wasn't it?
So I'm like, I know when it's not going to be. Oh, yep, came and went.
Yeah, because I was doing we were doing a tour of the in Cancun about that, and that guy who was a Mayan of Mayan descent, he was like, oh yeah, this is where I'm going to be on 2012 on whatever the December 21st, 2012, because it's all happening. And I remember this was about 2010. I thought, well, I never forgot that. And then when that day came and went, I thought, I wonder if that old boy was standing there at that whatever he was going to stand at, because 2012 just kind of came and went, you know, along with the rest of them.
Almighty's pretty plain. You don't know when he's coming.
He says that over and over. And yet, Jace, you're right. How many people want to just talk about end times and eschatology, which is the big word? I mean, they just want to just live there. And it's like, really, like, that shouldn't really be a focus because it's going to happen, but we're not going to know.
I got a guy who loves Jesus, and he's one of my good friends, but he spends his spare time looking for the signs of the end.
Yeah, the numbers.
And I'm like, you're wasting time.
That's what I say. Let's take another break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated, so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
So he's coming like a thief. He's like, yeah, but it's fun for me. I was like, you're wasting time. Spend that time sharing Jesus with people.
Yeah.
And so have him ready when he gets here, not, oh, here's when he's coming. I mean, there's a big difference in the way you motivate people through that. I mean, he says this a couple times, you know, when he says in 1 or 2 Peter, when he says the heavens will disappear and the earth will be laid bare and burned up. And it's like, since this is going to happen, what kind of people should you be? I mean, there is some motivation there, but ultimately, if you read this New Testament, the motivation is what Jesus did. That is the plan. That's when you go through the book of Acts like we've been doing, the plan was, here's who Jesus is, here's what he did, here's what he will do, and that's what cut people to the heart. A side benefit of that is when the global warming does happen, and I mean the ultimate warming,
yeah,
as in way too fast, way too quick, then, okay, yeah, you're ready. But still, it's not about a place. It's about the people and ultimately our relationship with God that wins out. I mean, I've said this many times, but I feel passionately about it. I mean, with my wife, I would go anywhere with her because I'm with her.
Right.
So ultimately, wherever we go, we're doing it together. And that's the same thing that I said about our faith. In my immature faith, I used to say, oh, I'm following Jesus because I want to go to heaven. But as I've matured, I'm like, I'm following Jesus because I want to be with Jesus forever.
Right.
Oh, yeah, in heaven.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
Well, Al, I don't know why you're the ideology that they're hammering on now, certain individual, the global and warming crowd, they ought to love the Apostle Peter. The day of the Lord will be like a thief. The earth's going to come to an end. That's what they're hollering. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it laid bare. All the left-wingers ought to be saying, yay, Peter. Peter agrees with
he
us.
He was the original climate change.
And we're saying, but Peter said, y'all are correct. So calm down when we get a little, but you know, don't try to move it up some, because when this day happens, you better be ready there, all of you.
Here's the kicker, though, Dad. He said that 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so you had this week, speaking of this, so you had Bill Gates, one of the richest people in the world, you know, has all this internet and Microsoft money. And so he says, nobody should be eating meat. We should be eating synthetic meat. We should grow microbes into meat.
Will that help you in the heat?
Apparently, that keeps the cows from releasing methane gas, which is destroying the ozone layer, is what he said.
Well, here's my deal. When the son was in the pig pen and he came to his senses after a life of rebellion, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, his father was waiting, you know, on the trail home, yep, and he sees the son. And he put a robe on him, he put a ring on his finger, and he killed the fattened calf. The creator of the universe.
And Jesus said that.
In response to why I'm eating with you wicked people. The culmination of the story was gathering around a dead cow and eating filet mignon. I'm like, that's in.
That's right.
I'm going with it till I die.
Exactly.
Now, look, if you want to eat the synthetic version of it and still come, great. I love it because I'm not sure we have enough cows to feed everybody. So I love people that don't want to eat it. I've been with these people all week. I got all these teenagers in my house. Missy's cooking the greatest meals ever. And they're like, oh, I don't think I like that. Look, and one night, one of them said, hey, guess what? I just ordered Outback. I said, that was a waste of time.
Yeah, I
said, how are they going to get here? They said, well, it was open online. I said, well, it ain't open on the sidewalk out there.
I go back to Hebrews 6:17, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. That's us. He confirmed it with an oath. You say, is there going to be a last day? God said, there's going to be a last day. I'm going to come. I'm going to punish those who don't know me and who have not obeyed the gospel. They're going to be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from my presence. When I come down, and all of the believers are going to marvel at what they see. That's 2 Thessalonians. But this says, God made the oath, I will save y'all. He did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, he said, it's impossible for me to lie, and I'm telling you right now, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to make good on the promise I made Abraham back over there. I'll save you. We who have fled to take hold of the hope offered, that's us, We said, we're running to God. To us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope. God said, I will save you. Don't worry about the pandemics when they come and go. The storms will come and go. They'll all pass. Hunker down. Be self-contained. Don't be dependent on men. Just depend on me.
Love your neighbor.
I love your neighbor and love me. I'll get you out of here alive now. And I'm telling you, and we have that hope that we're going to get out alive no matter what the weather does, what pandemics do, viruses. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So with me, Al, I'm like, we have a hope. And if you're not a child of God, you don't.
Right.
I'm just saying, first things first, better get it right with God, because one of these days, what them left wingers are hollering about, there's a global heating coming.
Well,
no doubt about it.
And mainly you nailed it, because really environmentalism in general, to some people, has become a religion. I mean, it is
their religion.
It is their religion.
And I love the environment.
I do too. I mean, who's more conservationist than the three of us? I mean, in terms of creating things for the environment, nobody does more than we do. So it's not that we don't love the environment, but we don't worship the created. We worship the creator. And I think that's the most consistent.
Way back when y'all were boys, it was coming up, and I looked around down there, and the electricity would go off really a lot. I mean, when we had a dirt road going in there where we live, it would go off a lot.
Multiple.
I told Ms. Kay, I said, if we ever have the funds, the first thing I'm going to do is buy me a generator, one of these automatic ones, that I don't even have to go out there and crank the thing up and put gas on it.
Right.
The fuel tank will be there. This computerized world, somebody will be monitoring that particular generator to make sure it's running good. Pay them a little fee. They come up here and they check it out from time to time, keep the propane bottle full. And look, 10 seconds, if some storm comes over and knocks down the power lines, which it's done multiple times this year between hurricanes and this freeze out, I'm sitting there. I said, well, there went the electricity, black dark. We're sitting there watching television. Boom, it all leaves. I said, the old Generac out there is sitting there. 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Boom. Ever the lights come back on, I'm like, kudos to the generator people. And look, we rode that sucker for 3 days, and somebody says, so you didn't miss a thing. So if you're going to take money and invest in things and men and depend on it, just get you a generator if you're worried about your life.
Today's
going
message
out
is trust in Jesus and buy a generator.
That's buy a generator. Trust in God and buy a generator while you're at it.
Let's take one last break.
He expects you to be more than an idiot. I mean, if you say, I wonder if we're ever going to have a hurricane. I wonder if we're ever going to have ice 6 inches, a foot deep. From time to time. You're going to get them.
It's about every 40 years.
You say, why spend all that money on a generator if it don't come around about every 15 or 20 years? Well, here we are. And the last time we saw it, Jace, was back in there about me and Al when we went duck hunting on the bank that day. It was two. We killed a few ducks.
Well,
you say, how long has that been? That was the 80s.
40 years ago.
Years ago.
You're not going to believe this. I told you.
I'm just ready, just in case.
I told you something to happen to me this morning that you would find unbelievable. But I didn't want to tell you what it was. So I live in town. I mean, I know I'm in Louisiana, but I live by you. We're in Yuppieville. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
City dwellers.
We did a Beverly Hillbilly takeover of our neighborhood.
This is like day six. I mean, I'm right next to the power grid thingy, whatever.
Right next to Willie's house.
And so this is like day six of lockdown. Nobody can go. It's frozen, the frozen tundra around here. Well, we have a couple of Willie has a little stock pond that he stocks some fish, but it's a yuppie pond. It has a little bridge going across. There's no mud.
I made no comment.
It's embarrassing. He's got little water generators in the water, so it doesn't freeze, I guess. I don't know what that's for.
It had everything but a wilderness look about it.
So anyway, I wake up this morning because my dog has had to stay in the garage this entire time, which has been not good.
Yeah.
Because it's too cold. So every time he's in this cage, because if he, at first I just said he can live in the garage. Well, after he destroyed that in an hour, I said, no, he's going to have to stay. I got to lock the door. So I open it up and let him out. He's running around. And so I go down to look at his pen because I thought, well, it's going to warm up. I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, this thing, you can't even move. The door's open. It's a foot of ice, and there's nowhere to get in there. But I look. I say, what's that in the water? And most of that pond behind my house is froze up. And it's not it was not good for ducks. There's some yuppies have some pet ducks. They're like, some of them are like these white ducks and weird looking. Well, I'm looking there and I said, that's a green winged teal. I am looking, and I took my camera out because I said, they're not going to believe this. I know that green winged teal is not tame. That is a wild from Canada green winged teal. I zoomed it up. Green winged teal, Drake. And I looked out there, and there were more. And if I could describe my neighborhood, for a bunch of green-winged teal to be flying around in the piney wood hills of town.
We're ridges. We're ridgeland.
To get to this spot, this has been the greatest migration of all times for a green-winged teal to wind up right there.
That's a good sign.
So listen to this. So I go running, I forgot it was ice, because I was going to show Missy. I was like, there was a green winged teal, I got it. So as I'm running, my dog, who I let out 15, 20 minutes ago, he's coming to me, and he has a duck in his mouth. And I'm like, now he came from Willie's Pond. So I went drop, because I thought he had caught a tame duck. I picked the duck up. It was a dead shoveler. Now, a shoveler, it's one thing to say, okay, it's a miracle, a green-winged teal's here. Now we got a shoveler that has died, and I'm thinking at the mouth of my dog. Now, how did he catch it? I know he killed it, chomp, chomp. I guess.
But normally a duck.
I mean, it was like a limp shoveler. Like, it wasn't like he was, got it out of somebody's freezer.
Maybe the ice and all, they lost their food supply, and he was one of the victims. He fell victim to the current status.
So I came in and out. So I walked in the house. I should have thought this through. Carrying the dead shoveler. So Missy and all the girls screamed. And I looked around behind me. And I was like, it's a dead shoveler. They were screaming because I brought the dead shoveler in. Yeah. And she's
typical yuppie women.
It's bleeding. I was like, babe, you don't realize.
Something's happened.
This is the signs of the end of the world.
Something has happened here.
A green winged teal is in the pond. My dog just retrieved a dead shoveler
that you didn't shoot.
That I didn't shoot. It's not duck season. And she's like, well, are we going to eat it? I was like, I can't eat a shovel. I'm not that fired up. Now, the green winged teal, I would have had to break the law.
Yep.
And so I wound up, I thought about that. I put it in the back of my truck and I thought, be my luck. I pull in at the gas station. There's a game warden. He's like, where'd you get that shoveler there, boss? I was like, you're not going to believe this. I have a story. And I would sound like, as he's handcuffing me and taking me and reading my rights or whatever they do, I don't know. They're like, oh, yeah, so your dog retrieved it from your yard in yuppie subdivision. So I have the shoveler if you want to see it, because I said, you're not going to believe this. But
so
I don't
know
what's going on.
The teal were in the lake today?
Yep, morning. I have the video of the one.
Yeah.
By the way, Jace, I made it. I couldn't make it to the boathouse. But I drove to the dog. I just wanted to see what it looked
like. We just lost all our viewers. They're like, what is he talking about? Yeah. The dog is a creek that we own.
Yeah.
Go ahead. It's dog bayou.
It's 50 acres flooded field for duck season. We hunted it all year up to a couple of weeks ago.
How many ducks were on it?
It was zero, and the entire thing, all the way to the levee, the deeper part down there.
Solid ice.
Frozen.
Solid ice.
You know where they went?
I have no
idea.
My
neighborhood.
My backyard. Yep. We are
They ended up in the subdivision.
They're in the subdivision, which is the worst thing.
That's hard times when it gets so cold that it runs ducks to subdivision.
Well, I thought
the bass pond had a few gadwalls, and a ring necks sitting on it.
Because it's deeper.
Deeper. And it didn't freeze there, but the dog was out the bayou. It was all solid ice.
You know what's funny is that pond had ice in it.
I couldn't get past that because the road, the ice had bent the trees over, and I tried about a quarter mile of it. After that, I said, you know what? It's not worth it.
Well, by the way, I'll wrap this up by saying to, because I know we got a lot of fans and listeners of the podcast up north, Canada. So we just experienced, not even what you guys experienced, but a little taste of how you live all winter. And I just want to say, I'm out.
Yeah.
I don't want to live like you guys do up there.
Oh, I mean, it's got to be tough.
I mean, I don't know how you do it. My hat's off to you.
They don't want to be hot.
I guess not, but I don't want the ice around. I couldn't walk. I looked like a 90-year-old man trying to get out of the bathtub walking around my yard.
Oh, which should be a motivation for everyone in the north to come to Jesus.
That's
you
right.
Read 2 Peter 3.
I did pray for my Texans
next
door because when they lost the heat and all that, it's not that you can't get enough cover to cover up. You can make it. But I'm just saying.
It was tough.
It was pretty tough on them.
I tell you what, Dad, that's a good idea. Why don't you offer up a prayer as we close out today for all of our folks that are unthawing over there in Texas?
I would pray, Father, that my fellow Texans would remember that their ancestors, dating back the last 250 years, were very tough men and women when they went out there and settled Texas, and the scraps that followed with whoever, making it a part of this Republic of the United States of America. I would just go back, Father, and ask them to go back and remember those days. Texans were known for their toughness.
That's right.
And I would pray during a thing like this, what it comes down to is just that, just toughness with an attitude that these things come, they pass, and you get back to relatively normal and life goes on.
Right.
But to escape it all, pandemics, floods, storms, hail, pestilence, whatever comes our way, some coming from you, maybe some coming from the evil one, I just pray, Father, that they stay together, put their faith in you, because you, at the end of the day, will be the one that will judge us all. So I pray that they put their faith in you and not so much in their fellow man. But love them, but don't trust them and put your complete faith in them. These things happen. They will pass. I love all these folks from Texas. In the name of Jesus, I'm praying for them here today. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.